Many Australians regard Bali as their annual holiday destination. Some have even bought villas up there and would retreat to this Indonesian paradise to spend half a year there if they could. Well, maybe there is a way to legally stay as an Australian and to do just that. Our Bali correspondent Suzanne Hart tells us how it works and what you would need to do. Well, it's terrific to chat with my friend Suzanne Hart, who's a Melbourne girl. Well, maybe she's not a Melbourne girl anymore, but she has been a Melbourne girl. It was in the business events industry here for years. And has been living in Bali for 4 years. Suzanne, welcome back to Travel Writers Radio.
Thank you, Graham.
Now, you're very happily ensconced up there, for the moment at least. But there's a smidgen things happening. There's a fair bit of tourism going on in Bali, and they're not upset about foreigners going there now.
Yes, it's very interesting because if you say the word tourism, you'll be shot down in flames. So there are some ways that people can get here legally at the moment. I'm very quick to say legally. There's a particular visa that was set up towards the end of last year, the B211, I think it's called. And just as an aside, if anybody heard this and they wanted to know more information about it, if you go to the immigration site for the Indonesian government and go to Instagram and just search it, they have an excellent site with so much information, and it's in both Indonesian and also in English. So if you want to find out more about it, it's the information.
So the government's using Instagram.
The government uses social media to really, and especially the immigration department, because the Indonesians are some of the biggest users of social media in the world.
Okay.
So the message is quickly put around. So the visas that are available, they will give you up to 6 months on the island. You need to extend them at the end of each month, and you don't need to leave the island or wherever you are in Indonesia in order to renew the visa, which is something that used to happen back in the old days, pre-COVID. Yeah. So they're not cheap, and however, that's not stopping a lot of people. So if you're keen, and for whatever your reasons are, so if you had a villa up here, if you were, for whatever reason, maybe there's family here, maybe there's, who knows, whatever your reason might be, and you were prepared to be here for longer than the couple of weeks standard holiday, it's quite achievable.
So it's effectively, it's a business visa, is it?
Well, it started off its life as being called a business visa, and as that's kind of morphed into being referred to more broadly as a social visa, a lot of people were using it under the guise of saying, oh, yes, I'm coming to Indonesia to do business. But, of course, that was not really the case.
That was code.
Yeah, it was code for I'm coming because I can, because I can afford. And a friend of an American friend of mine who joined me at the end of last year for our surfing safari cost her $800 for this initial visa. And that, when you think about it, for 6 months, it's actually pretty good value for money.
Yeah.
If you're keen to be here for however much time. And, of course, we're talking Indonesia. We're not just talking Bali. Many people still believe that Bali is its own country. Mm. Sometimes it feels like it's its own country. But there is absolutely that way of you contact a visa agent. They do all the hard work for you. You pay the money. You get an email saying that your visa's been approved, and then you try to find yourself a flight.
Yeah,
which is the biggest issue for my Aussie mates and for me, actually, trying to get back into Australia. The biggest stumbling block for Australians is, I understand, is the exemption to leave the country that has to be granted from the Home Office. And I've watched, even on the media, I watch a lot of ABC and local TV stations, Aussie stations, to keep up to date with what's going on at home, at my other home, and I'd certainly see that that's a big issue for many, many people who are trying to just get an exemption for far more serious and urgent needs other than just to come and check on their villa.
Right.
In Bali.
But I mean, if you owned a villa there, so you're a property owner and maybe you employ a gardener and perhaps a maid just to, you know, keep the dust off, maybe you've got to go up there and pay them or check on
absolutely
that everything's
absolutely
fine.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it's completely achievable. It really is.
Right.
It's not that difficult. The actual process for the visa, as I mentioned, is very straightforward. The trickiest thing is finding yourself a good, reliable agent.
Yep.
And there's plenty of information on some really good Facebook groups. You know, it would take you less than an hour to do a good bit of research and find
okay
out what was available. And
so,
yes, as long as you say to the Australian government, I assume, you know, I'm going back to my other home in Bali and I don't intend to return to Australia for 3 months, for example, then the Australian government's not going to be worried about you coming home and
with the dreaded lurgy. But I gather if you do this deal and say you did manage to get out of Australia, got a flight, etc., and had the right paperwork for Indonesia, there's a few other things, like you have to satisfy them about COVID, right?
Correct. Yeah, there's some developments that are unfolding as they are the world over, and if this thing has taught us nothing, it's taught us that things change daily, if not weekly.
Mm.
And I know that my heart goes out to my Melburnian friends at the moment. You're all stuck in another lockdown, but it's been very interesting to see how the process has changed and altered. Our international airport here in Bali is still not open.
Right.
For business, the domestic airport's going great guns.
Right.
There is a lot of activity in domestic travel. There's a lot of people travelling within Indonesia, by road, by train, by plane. You know, there's a lot of people moving around, and it's a big country. You know, there's a lot of places to go to. So
there's a lot of islands.
Lot of islands that don't all have a lot of people on them. So it really has been an incredible time to be travelling around Indonesia. I feel incredibly blessed. But the government has put in place there's a 5-day quarantine that happens. You can only enter. Mainly, you enter if you can through Jakarta. So people are coming into Jakarta. There's a five-day quarantine. Goodness, 5-day quarantine, which you pay for. You choose a hotel. That involves 2 PCR tests. You're met at the airport. You're taken to the hotel. They hold on to your passport, so you can't do a runner.
Yep.
You can't leave your quarantine. And then once that's all done and your last PCR test is coming back negative, then you're free to travel on to your next destination.
Right. Which sorts of travellers are taking advantage of this special $800 visa?
Well, there's a lot of, from what I've noticed, kind of out and about, and as you know, I love to surf.
You
and
do.
There are a lot of people in the water who are here on these visas. So we have literally United Nations on this island right now.
Right.
There have always been a lot of Japanese and Koreans. I'm seeing a little bit less of the Japanese because from what I see, they're also having some pretty
tough
problems.
Having some issues,
Japan. South Koreans. The South Koreans are a really strong community here, and there's a lot of South Koreans. But we have literally people. This morning in the water, there was Russians, there was Brazilians. They were not liking each other very much, but there were a lot of them out.
The Russians
water.
And the Brazilians.
Yeah, that's just the aggro in the water sometimes. But anyway, apart from all of that, it has given people the people who surf, and they're not all the younger people. The people who can afford to do this right now are probably, you know, the 30 pluses.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of sneaky Australians up here right now who never went home.
Right.
It's often a very interesting chat that you have out in the water or getting ready to go out in the water or coming out of it's like, oh, where are you from? Oh, how long have you been here? Oh, yeah, we decided to stay. So there are definitely a lot of people around still, and that has contributed certainly to the little that it does in the very targeted sort of areas. Like, you know, there's a lot of people in Canggu that it's not necessarily for me great thing, but it's helping local businesses for sure.
Yeah. Now listen, did you get a shotgun for Christmas? Because I noticed your pet he's not singing out over our interview like he has been. Have you done away with him? Have you sold him to a chicken chain or something?
Rooster! Oh, yeah. My God, that rooster, Graham. I moved house. So
that's serious.
It got me in the end. It actually literally wore me down. And I used to live in Sanur on the east coast of the island when I was working for Destination Asia over, who the office was 5 minutes around the corner.
Yeah.
And the last year, as you know, because we have been talking quite regularly, which has been lovely, mm-hmm. I have been trotting around the country with my surfboard, but I also decided that this was probably a great time to come and be on the west coast for a while. Normally this area that I'm in, which is Petit Tingut, which is the top end of Seminyak, the traffic would just be too busy for me and I would have no patience for it. But right. At the moment, this morning I went for a very early surf, there was no traffic. Fantastic. Nobody around, so it's been a nice change and no rooster.
Well, that's excellent. I'm pleased to hear that. Now, the other thing you said to me was that you've actually had you've had the vaccine, not the virus, and you've had two shots of the Chinese one, yeah?
I have, and I don't know if you know it right now, but I'm speaking to you in Mandarin. Just a little bit of code. Naughty and very silly. The way I see this, Graham, I was very fortunate. Lived in Sanur for 4 years, and part of having what we call a kitas, which is a working and or visa to stay here, a temporary resident visa, is that with it comes a number, a bit like our Medicare number in Australia.
Yeah.
And that magic number means that you are on a database. So in the same way that we would go in to a doctor and show our Medicare number and, yep. All of that information is there, that's what happened when I went to the Bali Mandara Hospital in Sanur.
Yeah.
And they very kindly, even though it was over 60s a week, I smiled and I said, the young man said, I'm not quite 60, but would it be okay if I had my vaccine anyway? And he looked at me and smiled and said, sure, no problems, go take a number. So I had my first vaccine my first jab at the middle of April.
Yeah.
And we received here, mostly in the hospitals, when the first rollout happened with the first jab, it was CoronaVac, which is Sinovac, Chinese, one of the Chinese vaccines, which has just finally received the stamp of approval from WHO.
So you were guinea pig number eight, were you?
I feel like I was guinea pig number eight. And then at the same time, there were many of my local friends and other friends who were also receiving the jabs throughout Sanur, and they received AstraZeneca. I didn't even think to ask, as far as I was concerned. I was just really grateful to
have anything.
Yeah, and I'm saying this to my friends and family, like they're saying it to me. People send me messages and say, I've got my second jab, I'm one step closer to coming back to Bali. And of course, it feels like the other way around for me. I feel like I'm now one step closer, hopefully, to be able to get back to Australia maybe for Christmas, being fully vaccinated.
You're listening to The Travel Writers Show.